Well, hello and welcome to Winter is Crappening. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Ben, first of your name, hair of first. Your having, smile yeah. of your smiling,
pookie ruler of your pookieing. Okay. Ruler of the third men and the Vagars and the Agars and the Moogars.
Hey, of the mortgage, filler of the gas tank.
Purchaser of 2-for-1 Simply Orange juice at the supermarket.
Don't eat that. On sale. It's just sugar. Okay. Just because they color it orange, don't make it healthy. Okay.
Ask receiver, receiver of diet advice.
From fat person on other end of line. Everybody, welcome to Winter is Crappening. Very sad day because it is our last episode. And guess what? It's your last episode. It's everybody's last episode. Because there's no more of this until 2024. And frankly, I'm pissed. I don't like thinking about 2 years in advance. I mean, what the hell? I'm probably going to be so big, they're going to have to cut me out of a trailer. Like, I don't want to think that far in advance. I'm not a person who lives like that. I want to know what's happening right now.
I know. But I just read an interview on Variety with the showrunner, Ryan.
He of the motorcycle jacket.
Runner of the show, liver in London person, disavower of dark shots. Anyway, he had an art, Ryan Congle. I want to say Ryan Condal. So he said that going forward, the show will all be in real time. No more time skips. He said.
Huh? How's that possible? I know, Ronnie. Don't we got to get through 300 years of this shit? You better not put it in real time.
Well, he knows he's got to say that to make sure we tune in for season two because, Variety asked him, hey, what was how was it with all those time jumps? That was kind of bold. And he's like, you know, we're just so grateful that we have partners in HBO that said, no, this is the way you got to tell the story. And we know it was a challenge, but we are going to reward people because now we won't have everything's going to be real time going forward. Well, so I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you're right. It is like 300 years that we have to get through, but he's saying no more time jumps.
Well, that's good. They can keep the same actor as they used to play Kristen, LOL JK, because he's never aged ever. Huh. Okay. He should be the picture of the Botox place. You know, when you walk into the Botox place and there's always like that gorgeous lady, it should be Sir Kristen. Just like, yeah. Get your angry 11s done. I mean, if anybody is going to grow into their angry 11s, it's that motherfucker.
Yeah, okay. He really will.
So thank you to everybody who's listened to us this season. Okay, we've loved it. We've had a great time, etc. Cheers to you. Cheers to your line of, you know, little dumplings, no matter their hair color. We don't judge here. But getting into this show, I have to say my favorite song came on the air, and I'm going to play a little bit of it for you now. Because Succession, the preview came on. Oh my god. I get as close to dancing as I ever get when that theme song comes on. I just start kind of shaking my shoulders like
Yeah, I thought you were playing the Real Housewives of Ultimate, the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip season 2 theme song there for a moment, so I was excited, but no, it was actually Succession.
Can't wait for Succession to come back. Shiv! Bring it on, Shiv! But guess what? This is not a Succession recap, but I will give you one line.
But it kind of is.
I will give you one line from Mr. Roy himself. These people are pygmies! I mean, come on, you gotta love that show. Can't wait for you, spring 2023. You see, that's how to do it, Succession. Succession's like, we're gonna give this to you in the spring, this next spring, not in 2 years. Who knows? Who knows where I'm gonna be? Maybe I won't be committed to you anymore, Game of Thrones.
Although I guess the last season of Succession was in last fall, so it kind of, if someone said, when is the next season of Succession coming out, and they said, in 2023.
I was furious. I was furious then too. At least I'm fair.
But now it feels close. Yeah. So, but there is another Succession that's going on, and that is the Succession of the Iron Throne. And this is a very dramatic season finale that was properly lit. I was happy. I was really worried it was going to be a super dark episode. Like, I would have to have like a flashlight out shining it at the screen. But we could see everything. I was really happy. I could see. I felt like I could see 95% of this episode, which is a really high percentage for House of the Dragon.
Now, can Ryan Condal purchase a personality appropriate motorcycle jacket? No. Can he take a note on lighting? Sure can, because you know they went in and refiltered all of that for this.
No, well,
because it's got to suck to do a whole show and put this much effort and have everything turned over by people on Twitter. Like, you suck, I couldn't see shit.
Well, he addressed that in that Variety article. And he says, oh, well, you know, when you're making film, when you're making a movie, it goes into movie theaters and it's like a controlled situation. But when you're making a TV show, it goes to all these different TV sets and people have lights on, they're watching during the day, or they have the blinds open, and you just can't control it. And I kind of felt like he was subtly saying, when you make content for poor slobs, poor, slovenly, unkempt people who've got like dirty underwear on, yeah, and who don't know how to properly enjoy their entertainments, you have to remember that you can't do the art that you want to do. And the reason why I felt like he was being passive aggressive to us is because then in his next paragraph, he was totally passive aggressive to the director. His name is Miguel. I'm forgetting his last name, but he was actually the showrunner who left midway during the season. And he's like, you know, he says, that was Miguel's episode. And Miguel and Fabian Wagner, who's the DP, they were in charge of posting the episode and color correcting. And they're geniuses in that way. So they should have done it that way. And they brought it to a place where they were happy. And, you know, they thought it was great. And that's what got released on television. Which is his way of saying, I did not approve this at all. Don't blame me. Stop asking me this question.
Yeah, passing the buck. And I hate that first one, too. Like, it too, QLED. You know, like, who says that? And let me just say, you know, when you're dating a lot of people, you can date all different sorts of people in all different sorts of tax brackets. Your penis is still your penis, and it needs to work in all situations. And that's what I say to you. Mr. Condal, okay?
At the end of the day, none of this explains the jacket. The leather jacket. It does not explain the leather jacket. We all see it. It comes on like behind the scenes. Oh, here's a guy in a leather jacket. He's like, I'm a writer, but I'm a successful writer. So I have a leather jacket. So
let's get into this because it's really long and we're going to talk 90 minutes for like just about hours. Jackets. But yeah. Which, you know, normally I'm into.
I'm down.
God damn, this is a long one. And I wrote down every single thing that came up because there's all these different names now. Now there's like there's not just like a dragon or three. There's like a school of dragons now. Okay. Then they're like, oh, and also there's some dragons who are just chilling. They're just chilling in the backyard. Like that's how dragons work. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feral dragons just waiting to be claimed, you know, like cast offs from The Bachelor. Like nobody wanted them.
They're just waiting to join Dragons in Paradise. But I feel actually a certain amount of pressure to know the dragons' names because I've noticed online people are like, oh my God, Arix. Or they'll say, look at Vhagar. Or everyone knows the dragons' names. And I'm not going to lie. I have never committed the dragons' names to memory. Maybe Vhagar, but like, I can't tell those dragons apart. If I see if I see one of those dragons flying, I'm like, oh,
It's a dragon.
And when people are like, oh my God, Rhaenys was reunited with Maelys. I'm like, okay. I was like, Maelys who? Who is Maelys? Is this her friend? But it's the dragon. And like, I have not been able to get to that level where I can put a name to these dragons.
Well, and all, it's not just the naming convention. Well, first of all, the naming conventions are weird, which I'll get to, but it's not just the names. It's that everyone knows their personalities. They'll be like, oh my God, Maelys, they really captured Maelys in this one. They really, really caught her personality. Just, you know, the way she's so easy and breezy until it's time to be serious. I'm like, what the fuck are you people talking? And then the naming conventions, some of them are named after like food product, you know, like,
yeah,
added ingredients on the back of a, you know, corn snaps box. And some of them are like storm Storm Dancer. Storm Beard, you know?
I know. It's like he has Malax and Jarax and Ajax and Carmax and Office Max.
And Rover.
And Rainbow Face. Like, I don't get that. And then Melisse. I don't understand the dragon naming thing. But then again, that's actually pretty much in line with me not understanding a lot of pet naming conventions, because I feel like there's certain names that are like pet names, and then like you'll have a dog named Rover or Bueller or like Rufus or something, and then someone will be like, oh, here's my dog, it's Roberta, and you're like, oh, that's an oddly formal name for a dog.
So we open with wind blowing eerily, and we see a slow flyover, the painted table, the painted map table thing. And we see, you know, places in there. There's like a Vale of the Arryns. There's that little Starbucks. And I was like, oh my God. At least they're explaining why everybody had a Starbucks in the series finale.
I know. I saw that Starbucks and I was like, I am so glad that that survived the pandemic. I'm really happy for it.
There's like a little summer moon waiting in the wings to take over Starbucks. It's like a Game of Thrones for Starbucks, for coffee shops.
Is Summer Moon a new coffee shop?
It is. Isn't it funny? It's named after Sheena's kid. Isn't that her name? Summer Moon? That's what I think every time I come in there, I say, corner! They're like, all right. Cold brew black. So
little Luceris is, he's Lucy. Walking around the table. I know, little Lucy. Oh, poor little. Tough episode for him. Tough.
Yeah.
Tough episode. Yeah.
But although anyone who's ever worked with the child actor, am I right? Yes. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. I want to know who's going. Like, I mean, you know, his momager was. They're like, you know what? Enough with Luceris. Let's just kill him. I can't deal with his mother anymore. She's always making demands and trying to like be like, oh, were you shooting? I didn't mean to be on camera right now. I'll get out of frame.
Oh, poor little kid. And I kind of knew it was coming because I made the mistake of following a Game of Thrones memes thing on Facebook, which is so funny. And you're not supposed to give spoilers, but there's always that jackass. There's always that asshole who it's like a meme, you know, it's some random funny meme. And then someone else has to be like, yeah. And then he gets eaten in the middle of the sky in a battle. I'm like, well, thanks. I had nothing to do with this meme, sir. Okay.
Yeah, I hate that person for you. Asshole. That's really annoying. Well, anyway, right now Luceris is walking around the table and he's touching it, which I'm like, okay, I mean, that's fine, but like, I feel like you shouldn't touch it. It's like a nice table and everything, and I feel like you're just too young, you know?
My God, and you're such a child hater. You even hate children who are like in line to the throne. Like, come on.
Well, I just feel like sometimes, I feel like in these shows, children should be seen and not heard. Not in life necessarily, but in these shows.
In life. They should be
seen,
too.
Seen and not touching things. But anyway,
you're like, walks get out in. Of this ain't a ball, kid. This ain't a ball pit, kid. All right? Go fucking put your curlers
this ball
in.
Pit is only for well-behaved children who will not jump around. They will merely wade around and then remove themselves after 20 seconds. But Rhaenyra walks in and Rhaenyra's whole thing, every woman on this show, the way you know they're pregnant is they everywhere they walk, they put a hand on top of their bump. So she's walking, she's got the hand, she's like, hello, I'm just gonna walk into a room with my hand on my bump again. I'm like, I have never seen, I've seen women put hands on their bumps, of course. But I feel like all my pregnant friends do not walk everywhere just like cradling their bump as they walk from room to room.
Well, now that we've seen how so many people turn out on this show, they're probably doing it like it's a buzzer on Press Your Luck. Like, no whammies, no whammies, please. Just like rubbing it for luck. He's touching Driftmark on the map. And she's like, there you are. Get off realtor.com. Okay? Stop. You're overthinking this. And he's like, the sea snake is going to die, isn't he? And she's like, come on, Lucy. And he's like, I can't be Lord of the Tides. I don't want to. He was the greatest sailor that ever lived. Wow, I got seasick watching ocean TV. I ruined everything. I can't do it.
At which point, Rhaenyra then changes her left hand from her right hand on her bump to her left hand. She's like, must have one hand on it at all time. And she's like, Luke, well, we we don't choose our destiny, Luke. It chooses us. And he's like, but grandsire let you choose whether to be, you'd be his heir. You told us so. You told us so. She's like, oh God.
She's like, what else pathetic, did I this tell one. You? You're hot, thin, white men. It's your destiny to fail upwards. Please take this position you didn't earn. Just accept it. So she's like, well, do you want to know the truth of it? I was very frightened. I was 4 and 10, same as you are now. I wasn't ready to be the queen of the 7 kingdoms, but it was my duty. And in time, I came to understand. I had to earn. Okay, well, I didn't have to earn it. I had to pour Kool-Aid, basically, until somebody died. So that's basically what I did. Right?
Mother, you said that you were 4 and 10. Which one is it? Were you a toddler or an adolescent? No. 4 and do the math. Well, maybe you really aren't suited for Driftmark. Okay, I'm going to start pushing back on this one for you. Okay.
Listen, I've already made it that you're going to rule the land with a broken chair. A broken, what do you call those chairs? A broken Adirondack chair. Okay. I couldn't have picked a more broke down kingdom for you. All right.
Come on. It's literally the easiest kingdom.
Just show up. And if you're even 3 hours late, who cares? It's called Driftmark.
The mark has drifted away from accuracy. No one cares about tide. It's literally just a buffet. It's called High Tide. It's a buffet. It's a seafood buffet. You are just overseeing the buffet. That's all.
And he's like, but I can't be like you. I can't be like you. And she's like, listen, I'm not perfect and you don't need to be either. Now come here. Let me kiss your eye as a symbol of the thing you could have been missing that would have saved us from this whole mess in the first place. I kiss.
So then a knight walks in. He's like, good morrow, princess. Well, Princess Rhaenys has just arrived on Dragonback, and she urgently requests an audience with you and Prince Daemon.
And she's like, hello, Sir Laurent of House Eve Saint. Why is it that every time I get a guard, they're bald? Why? Every single damn time are you all bald?
Well, it's just that the stress of taking an oath of the cloak just really causes all our hair to fall out. There's so much going on in our lives, you know? So now Rhaenys walks in, and Ray's like, might we hope for news of Sir Corlys's recovery? Surely you bring nothing but excellent news for me today. Nothing that will disturb me frightfully, right?
Viserys is dead. Wow. She's like, geez, whoa. Bedside manner.
Damn.
Goddamn, Rhaenys.
Rhaenys, come on now. Come on. I mean, I know you walked in some badass armor, but let's have some soft touches here.
And so Ray's like, WTF, obviously. And Rhaenys is like, I grieve this loss with you. My cousin, your father, Mr. Jetson's neighbor, the cable man's greatest fear.
New barista at the local Starbucks.
Possessed a kind heart. Very kind heart. And Ray is like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I mean, Jesus. I mean, he'd only lost an eye, a finger, a foot, a kneecap. I mean, I just didn't see this coming.
Oh, man. Well, thank God you only brought one piece of terrible news. And Rhaenys is like, there's more. Aegon has been crowned his successor. And then, so then Ray is like, sudden onset screenwriting pregnancy issues.
Yeah, so she starts having like birth pains, or we don't know if it's kicks or pains, but we can assume it's pains, right?
Yeah.
So she's like, they crowned Aegon. And Daemon's like, how did he die? And she's like, I could not say, really. I mean, last thing I knew, we were missing a few M&Ms from on the table. Next thing I knew, they were in his eyes moving back and forth. Really, it was so disturbing. I have no idea.
Not sure how he died. I can't help but wonder if his generally decrepit state had something to do with it. Remember when we stood there for 6 hours as he walked across the room? Wonder if that had anything to do with the fact that he just keeled over the next day. I don't know.
I don't think the question here is, how did he die? I think the question here is, how did he live? Honestly. Like, we have no medical care. I mean, they put so many leeches on him. They were moving his hands for him. All right. None of those leeches were ever accounted for. They just took up residence there. So how did he live exactly?
I mean, the leeches lost their eyes and cheeks too. It was just terrible. I mean, you can only put so many on that man before it gets contagious.
And they're like, well, how long ago did he die? She's like, 2 days, three. I don't know. I was made prisoner in my quarter with no flip or flop as the queen made her preparations. So I'm really not sure. Usually I measure life in flip or flop episodes. Whose side are you on, Christina or Terex? Really is a conundrum.
Well, I'll just say this. Viserys has been slain, says Daemon. And Rhaerys like, so did you declare for Aegon? And she's like, she's like, I did not. I refused her. I would not do that. And Daemon's like, but you're still alive. And Rhaenys is like, okay, so next time when I come over, please watch the previouslys, because it was all explained there. Okay, so at the High Septum, they crowned Aegon in front of everyone. I was downstairs, which I know, just go with it. I know I said I was in my quarters, but I was also downstairs, and I was on a dragon. Went up through the floor, which was also the roof. Scared everyone, could have burned the whole thing down and avoided all this mess, but decided, you know what? I'd rather have a badass moment where I just go, and then fly off. It was great.
And she's like, wait, they crowned him in front of the masses. She's like, yes, the dragon pit, I told you. All right, I mean, talk about being willing to make a mess. Yeah, I don't know if they thought that thing was going to turn into a food fight or what, but dragon pit it was. So that was a fun day.
So Daemon's like, that whore of a queen murdered my brother and stole his throne, and you could have burned them all for it.
And she's like, well, a war is like to be fought over this treachery, to be sure, but it will not be started by me. Now listen, I could have gone straight to the mall, but I came here to warn you instead. So can I get some points? Thank you.
I mean, I could have really honestly done this all online, but I believe in brick and mortar, so I came here, okay?
So she's please. Like, oh, by the way, the greens are coming for you, Rhaerys, and your children. You should leave Dragonstone. Good luck with that. Okay.
So now Rhaerys, she's like, because she's having pregnancy pains. So, because I guess the stress of all this is really, it's just, even though it was deeply anticipated and not a surprise at all, it's still like a lot for her. So now she's in her white robes, like her giving birth robes that they put them in at this time. And the maester's all concerned because it's like premature. And he's like, this should not be happening. And she's like, it's fucking happening.
You got to love the doctors in this kingdom. Okay. I mean, do the doctors say anything that's not completely obvious? Her term is far from complete. This should not be happening. Well, thanks. You know, that's why you have a penthouse, because of those fucking brains, maester. Okay. So then her maids and midwives and all that are like, we can do this. We've done it 5 times before. What's a 6? Should just slide on out by now, shouldn't it?
Yeah. They have a lot of toxic positivity. They're like, you'll be great. It's fine. It'll be fine. Keep your spirits up. No, no problem. It won't be any different than before. No issues whatsoever.
Live, laugh, love. Live, laugh, love. Live, laugh, love. Love, laugh, live. Really, does it have to go in order? Just get this thing out of me. So she's screaming in the background. And then the kids, Lucy and Jake, are practicing swords on the beach, swording. And Rhaenys calls them in. And I just want Rhaenys there all the time. I mean, I even love how she calls the kids in. She's like, Luke, Jake, your mother needs you. Sucking on her bottom lip.
She just has control of every situation, you know? She just knows. She just knows how to call kids in from the sand, like from the beach, you know? So now the kids go up to where Rhaerys is, sort of like trying to give birth, and they're like, Mom? And she's like, oh, fuck! Sorry, kids, sorry. Anyway, your grandsire, King Viserys, has passed, and the Greens have repudiated the succession and claimed the Iron Throne, so Aegon has been crowned king. And you're my new heir.
Go play now. So she's like, oh, and by the way, Jake, my claim goes to you next. So nothing is to be done without my command. And he's like, okay. So they leave, and then...
Luke, you still get the Adirondack chair, just so you know. Adirondack chair still going for you.
He's like, no! I'm seasick just thinking about it!
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we see Baramus, and he's... Is he new?
Probably, because I just said man talking to Damon, because I was like too lazy to look up. I was like,
there's a lot of damn new people today.
Baramus. He's like, a raven flew in. The sea snake's fever has broken, and he has left for here.
And Damon's like, send ravens to allies. So she's like, Damon and Sir.
No, in the back. No, this is.
Oh, she's screaming. No. She's not like, Damon, listen to me. She's like, Damon.
It's like a whole scene's going on and she's wailing in the background. Oh, Damon. God,
this was just fucking heart wrenching to watch this, you know? It's like the next day we're like, ah, but oh my God, this was so tough to sit through. Like, can a woman catch a break on this show just once? Have we ever seen it where they're just like, I don't know, like you hear some moms talking about it, like volleyball games where they're like, let me tell you, I mean, everyone says it was hard. I loved being pregnant. It was amazing. And when that baby was ready, it just gave a little knock on my belly and shoom, it was great. It even came out dressed. I mean, it came out dressed, had a little bonnet on and a tiny little iron, started ironing his own clothes. It was amazing. Not on this show.
Yeah. I just don't. I feel like the creators of this show are really reveling in the torture porn of childbirth. And people keep on saying, no, but it's a good reminder of how difficult it was to give birth in those days. I'm like, in those days, it's not a real days. That's not real history.
What's based
not saying
on
that
real
like
days, it's, you know, not it's that like one thing's but, not real, so nothing's real. Come on.
But no, but meaning that like. People are acting like it's real history, and it's not to say that childbirth would therefore be easier in a fantasy world, but I feel like this point that these guys are trying to make, like, look how hard childbirth is, it's like, yes, we know this, and I feel like they're less making that point and more just like reveling in being able to show something really grotesque on screen, and they do it at the beginning of the season and the end as if it's something poetic, like, oh, we were bookended by this, guess what? There's births all the time. There's babies all the time. And we're seeing babies on the show all the time. So I didn't find it to be particularly poetic. I just felt like they were just like, I don't know. I felt like they were just using something incredibly painful and difficult and hard and just trying to get cheap thrills off of it, to be honest.
Well, she's screaming in the background. And Sir Yves Saint Laurent is like, do you want to speak to the doctor, maybe? Go check on your wife? Anything? I mean, far be it for me. I'm the new bald guy here. But would you like to do anything that you should do right now? I mean, you have become a big heartthrob of the internet. It would be just horrible to see you become the villain that you're supposed to be this entire time. And he's like, no, I'm going to fly to Riverlands. And so Jake is there, and he's like, you will do no such thing. Mother has decreed no action to be taken while she's in bed. Also, Lucy will probably ruin Driftmark. Stop! Sorry, I had to.
So then Damon's like, well, come with me. I'm going to show you the true meaning of loyalty. Loyalty points, that is. I've got 10, and I'm entitled to a free footlong at the subway down the street. So they go outside, and there's like two knights there. And Damon's standing with them, and the kids are watching. And Damon's like, you swore an oath as knights of the King's Guard. And they're like, yes, we did. The white cloak. It's beautiful. Kept it clean and pretty amazing considering all the travel we've been doing. But it's clean. Swore the oath.
He's like, I'll show you the true meaning of loyalty, boys. All right, knights, do you still like stinky, stinky, smelly green, or do you like black? And they're like, black. It's like, good, you're not dead yet. Now, F, Mary, kill. Green, black, Allison, feet, boobs. They're like, that's too many. Oh, trick question, I've got it. All right, A, B, or C, green, feet, black. This is getting more confusing. If you betray us, I will burn you with this dragon. And the dragon's like, okay. Okay, we're with you, buddy.
Yeah, that's loyalty. It's just literally loyalty by fire.
Putting,
so great.
Putting the fear of death into people so they don't cross you.
Yeah. So,
great dad
now,
lesson. Hey, kids, I want to have a talk about loyalty. Threaten to murder people if they betray you. Okay, have fun at school. Have fun.
Well, that's how you, I guess that's how you get loyalty with fear. So Ray Ray now, this is like, again, crosscut. She's in labor, and she is now like pushing really hard. She's in extreme pain, and they're doing this artsy thing where she's having, we see flashes of like a dragon be like, you know, when she's trying to give birth. So she's like, it's like push, push, push. And I thought, like, is she going to give birth to a dragon or something like that? But it was just like an artsy moment.
So they're like, you shouldn't do this alone, princess. And she's like, get out. She's screaming at everybody. And then this is just so hard. So basically she's standing, like kind of squatting, trying to get the baby out. And she does, she pulls it out by the head and then it just drops to the floor. This is just rough as usual. She's like, just another week on this show. So yeah. She cradles the baby, and then Damon comes in and he's doing that typical, like, I'm a man and I'm feeling things, but I'm going to feel them behind a column. So I never have to show them, and you can just infer that I'm feeling deeply. Like, move your ass over there. That's not only your wife that just went through that, it's also your niece and probably your sister, cousin.
And mother.
Yeah, and future daughter. She's going to come out again.
I have to say, I didn't understand the point of any of this. Like, I didn't understand why we were subjected to having to watch this. Like, I don't know. Was it supposed to be character building to show that she, like, the pain that she goes through? Yeah, I didn't.
I mean, showing, I felt like again, the trauma that she's enduring again. Like, her dad just died. Now she just pulled her own deceased child from herself. It's like, what else can happen? I think it's just like, okay, well, you know. Only way to go is up. Don't, you know, you got this. And then this show just felt like shitting really on your head. Okay.
Yeah, I felt like it was really there just to elicit a reaction, like a visceral reaction out of us.
It's Game of Thrones.
Which yeah, but I thought, like, cynically, I was kind of like, that's like shit. That's like shitty to me. And I mean, like, where did this be, you know, suddenly she's pregnant, and now suddenly she's having this traumatic, terrible, tragic birth scene. And but like the actual pregnancy itself, we barely even got a chance to care about, like, oh, what, like, what is involved with this? So I don't know. Again, I just felt like it just felt gratuitous to me, and not like and I don't say that in a way of like, oh my goodness, I'm clutching my pearls, I'm so offended by the gratuitous violence. I felt gratuitous in that, like, I felt like they were just trying to, like, make us go ew just for the sake of it. So, you know, or not even ew, but more like, for some people, really elicit like a very strong emotional reaction that's probably tied to some, you know, very real life experiences. And I just kind of felt like that was shitty of them.
So Damon's outside walking all sad on the beach, and then it keeps cutting between him crying and then her crying, but apart from each other. They're not together. And yeah. Then we see the funeral and the pyre, you know, and then guess who comes? A knight walks up the hill, and he's got like a little metal bun on his knight helmet. So I don't know why anybody didn't know who he was, but it was one of the Bun twins. And this one's Eric yeah. with an E. And he's like, I mean no harm, brothers. Has any man in a man bun ever meant a harm to anybody? And so he takes off his mask hat thing, and he's like, Damon. And he bows, and he's like, look what I've carried in my pocket. Thank God for the return of cargo shorts. A crown.
Like, you know, we're at a baby funeral right now. Like, could you maybe like wait like till the afternoon or something? I feel like the timing on this is not great. So, but they basically put the crown on Ray Ray, and you know, and then Damon's like, my queen. And then, you know, everyone starts bowing down, and it's like this big momentous, like, she is the queen. Everyone bows except for Rhaenys. Rhaenys just sort of stands and is like, I'm going to look at you proudly, but I also shall not bow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's like, I'll stand across the room and just kind of smile at you. Mm-hmm.
Like, and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, because she has not decided. Her house has not decided yet. So she's waiting, and I just got to say, you know, the husbands on this show are never romantic, are they? It's like, hey, we could be powerful together. Want to fuck in a brothel? Yeah, let's get married. Okay, that's how that happens. But then you got Man Bun, who's really just an employee, and he's like, I swear towards the queen with all my strength and give my blood for hers. I shall take no wife, hold no lands, father no children. I shall guard her secrets. I shall not watch Netflix without her. I shall obey her commands. I will clean the counters and load the dishwasher at night and empty it in the morning. I will ride at her side, defend her name, occasionally brush her hair if she needs help, and honor her. I was like, well, marry fucking Man Bun. I mean, what did he do? He won't even hold your hand when you're miscarrying.
He sounds like a great guy, despite the Man Bun, you know?
Yeah, but I've gotten used to Man Buns. I'm not a Man Bun hater anymore. I love Man Buns now.
Yeah, they can be really hot on the right guy, you know?
I find that they're a sign of character, and they also look like a bell at a hotel reservation stand when you need something. You're just like, ding!
Yeah.
I like that in a man.
Yeah. It's like, I like something that reminds you can be serviced. So, now she's walking through a dark corridor and she goes to like the map room, the table, the painted table, and they light the fire under it. So the whole table comes to life. It's like very beautiful. It's badass. Et
and how come they didn't do that on a regular game? It's like, it doesn't come with instructions, you know? And poor What's Her Buns didn't know. Khaleesi didn't know that those candles on the ground are supposed to go into the table. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a whole design.
It's a shame. It's like she never realized there was night mode on her iPhone. You know, like there's all this functionality that she just missed out on, you know?
Yeah.
So she enters, and then we got a big old Queen Rhaenyra Targaryen, first of her name, Queen of the Andals and the Rhoynar, and the first name, and the Lady of the Seven Kingdoms, Protector of the Realm, goer to the librarieth, person who needs to get her oil changedeth, and rotate her tires. The tires do need to be rotated. You really should look into it for your alignment, death. And she needs to do that, death.
Goa over curbs, Seth. It's like, all right, I got it. My alignment's off. Jesus Christ. Can I just go to the table? So she's walking to the table for the first time with this huge staff and council and everything. And I really like that she's like, you too, Bela. She takes the girls with her, which I really like. So they all surround the table and she's looking around and she's like, what is our standing? God damn, this is a big kingdom. Really? Why is the home good so far from the Starbucks? Has no one complained about that before? Do we have zoning here? Is there a zoning person here?
You know, it's actually quite difficult to take this all in. You know, it's just like a lot of information. You ever go to a restaurant and you look at the menu and you feel like you're just looking at the menu, not reading the menu. You know, that's how I feel with this map.
I'm looking more color coding for a prefix menu table instead of a diner middle of the night 10-page menu sort of a thing. You understand?
Does this table zoom in? Can we get better detail? No?
Can we just combine some of these kingdoms, make it easier? you know, they're like, we've got 500 men at the freeway. We've got another 100 crossbow people on the bridges. We've got 3 people in Home Goods. They're really not stationed there, but they do want to look good. Home Goods are very big in this kingdom. Very big.
Yes, they said there's some good deals on big candles that they think could be useful to the army.
Can you tell I need to go to Home Goods? Like, I'm going to mention it every other sentence. I hate when your real life errands get in your way.
And then so they're all talking about the things that they can do because they've got enough people to defend Dragonstone, but not enough to actually, you know, conquer King's Landing or anything. So then there's a maester. I don't know why the maester is involved in this planning. I'm like, you're a doctor, sir. But I guess he's like a man of wisdom. And so he's like, I say,
attack them with leeches. Lots of leeches. Toss them over there.
Nothing but leeches and tea. Oh, I know. We'll pour a tea solution into their water supply. That's what we do.
So she's like, who do we have on our side? And he's like, well, we have declarations from a bunch of people, but they all kind of suck. I wouldn't really trust them. You know, I mean, here's Game of Thrones. So.
You know, the Celtigar and Stormington and Massey and Darkling and Badamard and Flabar and Gedabar and Dilabar and Kuchabar and Lilabar. Sir, are you just making these words up? I am, yes. I'm just trying to prove my worthfulness here.
We've got one man bun out of 2, which really doesn't make a burger, does it? I'm not really sure what to tell you. So she's like, well, my lady mother was an Aryan, so they'll be on our sides. And he's like, okay, well, I've sent ravens to Lord Grover. And she's like, well, Grover's very fickle and easily swayed, so he'll need to be assured of our strength and that we'll support him in war and promise him we'll never make another purple Muppet.
Have you spoken to Lord Elmo? Because I hear he can be very persuasive to Lord Grover.
So, and she's like, oh, God, Lord Barris of Baranthian, we'll need to remind him of his father's promises, won't we? Surely that'll be very easy. We'll just send somebody over who's in no danger at all, promise him nothing, and basically just thinly veiled threats. Just send him some of those. It should work out great.
Just, you know, just remind him that his father, at some point many years ago, made a vague promise, and you know, everyone in this kingdom holds up vague promises, so it shouldn't be a problem whatsoever, I think. So we should do that. Yeah. So then everyone's like, so then like people are putting things on the table. They're like very authoritative. It's like when you're going to claim your seat at a conference, you know, at a conference table and at a big meeting, you put your cup down. You're like, I'm going to sit here.
So, I know, and then you just stand up and keep talking. You're like, but my apple's there. So
yeah. Yeah, that's my seat right in the middle.
That's my seat. That's my apple. You're like, well, I've never seen you eat an apple, Ronnie. I carry it around.
Sorry.
Seat, okay? Starting I'm now. Not going to not talk before the meeting starts. Apple.
I got the seat near the outlet. Sorry. So there's a lot of like putting things on the
that's
table.
That's you. You totally do that, don't you? You're an outlet seat stealer. I'm like the person who's always by the door.
No, I'm by the outlet. I'm like, must be charged at all time. I'm like, I'm running a hospital over here. So
I
so
like being Ray, by the door because I like when someone inevitably opens that door, you can hear what people are talking about outside the door. It's like copies to 7th or whatever. And I'm like, someone's sending copies to 7th.
Have you ever heard of the Toastmasters? Toastmasters is a national organization where with lots of local chapters where people go and they can like practice their public speaking, and they make speeches or tell like little stories, and it's all about like helping that, but you're just speaking. And my friend was having an issue with public speaking, so she decided to join Toastmasters, and I visited her, and she's like, hey, you're gonna just have to come to my Toastmasters meeting with me. I was like, sure. And so when you go in, the Toastmasters have this entire, it's actually like Game of Thrones. They're like the bearer of arms, like everyone has a very kind of medieval title in there. Like, you are the vice chair of the toast of the regional Washington DC Toastmasters. And since I was new, they made me like the marshal, the Toastmasters marshal or something like that. And my job was to sit by the door, and if people came in, I would open the door for them and close the door for them. So when you say how you like to sit by the door, I was like, I have actually had the official duty of sitting by the door. For the Toastmasters.
That's impressive. And you still want to sit by the outlet. It's like you didn't even know what you had. You know?
I had an official title for it, too. It was great.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So they've gone over all these people, and Rhaenyra is like, well, what news of Driftmark? Rhaenys! And Rhaenys is like, well, Lord Gorlis is on his way back. And they're like, to declare for his queen, surely. And she's like, well, the fleet is in my husband's yoke. He decides where the fleet sails. And she's like, well, we shall pray for you and your husband's support, just as we pray nightly for your husband's good health. And secretly, you can't hear this because it's only my inside voice, but a decent gay bar wherever we sent your son. Okay? Don't hate me.
So then they're just talking more about, you know, like Daemon starts talking about the Lannisters. They have no friends with the Lannisters because Tyland has worked too long for the Hand, and like Otto needs the Lannisters fleet, and Tyland likes being on there.
A commenter told us last week, so these Lannister boys, the one who's Tyland, the one who's in council, is different than the one who was giving the poking stick as a gift. They're twins.
That's Jason, yeah.
For fuck's sake with this show. Come on. Did they even have that many twins back then? Did they have fertility treatments back then? Because isn't that what causes a lot of twins these days?
Yeah, you know, I do remember in that episode, we did see that there were twins. But like, at this point, why do we really need them to be twins? I know maybe the book says that they're twins, but
combine.
Like, come on.
Combine.
Because as far as I can tell, has Jason done anything since? Have we seen Jason?
He's just a drunk old poll giver. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He's just sitting around getting wasted at parties trying to pass off polls to people. He's like, hey, you want this poll? So then Damon is like, well, the Riverlands are essential. And then John Cleese is there, some new old guy. And he's like, forgive me, but talk of men is moot because your cause owns a power that has not been seen in this world since the days of old Valeria. And everyone just stares at him. And he's like, dragons! What do you think I was talking about? Slide straws, slide whistles.
You think I was talking about conditioner? Come on, dragons! Come on, you guys have dragons for crying out loud.
You think I was talking about welcome mats? Although we are the first with welcome mats, and God damn it, they help.
Home goods. You know, it's very convenient.
You have to drive very far to get there if you're going to get a coffee in the same day. But still, great invention.
And then this is where Damon is like, well, that's true. I mean, they have three adults, but we have Cyrax and Caraxes and Melisse and Flu Fluff and Pickle Jar and Pyrex and Durex and Clorox, etc. And Moondancer.
Corn syrup. Stevia. So... Equal. Then the knight is like, well, your sons also have Vermax, Arax, Carmax, Taraxes, Ikea, Flurg, Flintarg.
Powang, which was named after one of Ikea's creations.
Bela has Moondancer. I was like, Moondancer?
Moondancer. Moondancer is like a, you know, Moondancer has like sparkly stickers on. On it, like, you know, like braids.
Yeah, Moondancer is like the perfect dragon that you have on your Trapper Keeper picture, you know.
Moondancer annoys all the other dragons. You just know it. First of all, Moondancer is always talking about going to incense shops and like maybe talking about having like, oh my god, I'm gonna go to Burning Man this year, and everyone's like, come on, we're dragons, we're more hardcore than this, Moondancer. Because no, you got to change your reality. Okay. It's great.
So Ray's like, none of our dragons have been to war, guys. Training's kind of important, okay? And Damon's like, well, also, sorry, there's still more dragons, all right? We've got lots of unclaimed dragons, lots of strays around. We've got Sea Smoke. Also, we're working on that name. You know, Sea Smoke and Moondancer kind of hang out. No one really likes them, but Sea Smoke still resides on Driftmark somewhere. I mean, I'm not really sure where, but it's a giant dragon. I'm sure we can figure that out somehow.
Yeah, I think it's funny that they can't like find where some of these dragons are. And so then Ray is like, well, who's to ride them? And she goes, and Damon's like, well, Dragonstone has 13 to their 4. And I also have a score of dragon eggs incubating in the dragon mount. So there's all that too. Listen, we need a place to gather, a toehold. And from there, we can just take over with our dragons.
Yeah, and Eric is like, your grace, a ship has been sent, and it's got 3-headed dragons on it. And Damon's like, let the watchtower sight the skies! So now it's another bridge meeting with Otto. Otto is never going to make it across that damn bridge. So Otto comes marching. That's the creepiest bridge because it's got those really long handrails too. It's just a very claustrophobic bridge. So he comes, and it's another face off with Damon. And he's like, I come at the behest of the Dowager Queen, mother of King Aegon, the second of his name, Jezeron Heads, Christina of Ricci, Lord and Protector of the Seven Kingdoms. I've been directed to deliver her message only to Ray Ray. Where's Ray Ray? And then Ray Ray tries her old trick of scaring Otto with the dragon.
And perfectly choreographed, too. I mean, she emerged just as he said, where is the princess? She just timed it. It's like those airplanes that fly over stadiums right at the end of the national anthem. It's like,
hey, if they can do it at the Amigo Air Show in El Paso, Texas, Rhaenyra can handle it.
She can do it with a dragon, okay? Yeah. So just the whole fly around thing, and then she lands on that little wall. I don't know how that wall can support a dragon, but it does. I don't know how it's wide enough that the dragon... I don't get it. I don't know how she gets off the dragon and doesn't fall off the wall, but whatever.
You're really too attached to realistic things.
I know. It's really hard. It's hard for me.
It's not, how is that girl flying a dragon? Where do they have dragons? Dragons aren't real. It's like, how does the dragon stay on a wall?
Because I accept the reality of the dragon. I accept the dragon reality, but then they also want me to accept their shifting wall reality. And I'm like, no, you have to decide. Okay.
Because
you
things cannot. Back in the day, which I know you say is not a real time, you're confusing me more with this show. Because now I'm thinking back in the day, but I'm like, you can't say that because it's just a made up time. Maybe it's in the future. We don't know. But anyway, back in the day, everything wasn't made right of like fucking chipboard or whatever that stuff is called, where they just shove a bunch of wood together. What's that called? Pressboard?
Yeah, it's pressboard.
Something like that. This is real stone, all right? That's how it's staying up.
This is real, 100% stone.
Real stone.
This is good stone, okay? I mean, you know, so definitely the list price for this place is going to add a few zeros to it because of that stone.
You're like, what kind of an L wrench did they use to put that bridge together? It's like, no, this is stone, okay? This is an IKEA splurg bridge, okay?
I question its ability to hold a dragon. Listen, I can look the other way when it comes to dragons flying. I can't look the other way with physics, okay? Which I guess I do because of the flying. But, you know.
So, she showboats for a while, you know, does a few loop-de-loos. She's like, figure eighting, bitch! And then she comes down. And, of course, the dragon's got to roar. This is a dragon. That's how they do.
Yeah.
And so Otto's like, Princess Rhaenyra. Oh, really? I'd like to see your daughter do it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get your loser daughter, Allison, to do it. Okay? Your foot hooker daughter. I'd like to see that, sir.
Mm-hmm. And she goes, I'm Queen Rhaenyra now, and you are all traitors to the realm. And so Otto's like, well, King Aegon Targaryen, second of his name, in his wisdoms and desires for peace and ejaculation, is offering terms. Acknowledge Aegon as king and swear obeisance before the Iron Throne, and in exchange he'll give you an umbrella that you can hold as you walk under his window.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you'll get to keep Dragonstone. That will pass to your trueborn son. Lucerys will be confirmed to Driftmark. Your son's Daemon and the other one will also be given high places in court. One of them can pour some Kool-Aid every once in a while. One can clean the cups. One can hold the cups. One can wipe the lipstick off of the cups. Lots of cup things to do for your children.
Yeah. And Daemon's like, I would rather feed my sons to the dragons than have them carry shields and cups for your drunken usurper cut fitness of a king.
Which that line really hits differently after you've seen the end. I'd rather feed my sons to the dragons than have them carry shields and cups for your drunken usurper cut fitness of a king. Well, so Otto's what? Like, well, Aegon Targaryen sits the Iron Throne. He wears the Conqueror's crown. He wields the Conqueror's sword. He has the Conqueror's name. He was anointed by a Septon of the Faith in front of the Thousand. And at Conqueror's Bar and Grill, there is a burger named after him called the Conqueror.
He literally has the Conqueror edition of the iPhone. He has BMW Conqueror's class. He got the new limited edition Gap by Conqueror collaboration jacket. Beautiful.
So any symbol of legitimacy belongs to him. And then there's Stark, Tully, Baratheon. I'll just wait for everybody to let those names go ding, ding, ding in their head. Houses that have also received and are considering news from their king. It's like, well, ain't that a PR spin? It's like, yeah. Who are considering what we've told them? I mean, we don't really know yet. But
it's very we'll Hollywood.
See. Fingers crossed.
It's very Hollywood. When you speak to writers out here in Hollywood, they're like, oh my, like, what are you working on? Oh my God. So George Clooney's assistant has my script on her desk right now. So doing a lot. And that's, by the way, people say that all the time, stuff like that, including me. So then Rey is like, she's like, well, guess what? Stark, Tully, and Baratheon all swore to me 20 years ago in... when I was a child, and it was actually a lot of people who are dead now. But they did do it. It's a really good swear. It'll work. It holds up.
Otto's like, stale oaths will not put you on the Iron Throne, princess. The succession changed the day your father sired a son. I only regret that you and he were the last to see the truth of it, you big dum-dum. And she's like, she marches up to him. She takes off his stupid hand pin and she throws it off the bridge. And she's like, you are no more hand than Aegon is king. You are no more hand than the king's hand was a hand by the time he left. Right? That thing was just leeches and black stumps.
He's like, well, that was a one-of-a-kind pin. I'm a little mad about that. But either way, Grandmeister, so the Grandmeister is like, comes with like a little, it looks like a letter. And then he hands it over and she unfurls it. And guess what it is? It's the page from the book that she tore off back in the first episode.
Yes. I'm surprised Allison didn't try and have her arrested with that shit. By the way, remember when you tore out that page in the book? Arrested, bitch. All right. Listen, we might not have brought dragons. Turns out, much like Al Capone got caught by the tax authority, you got caught by the book page ripper association. And you're going to
page ripping karma is coming due. I'm like, you know what, Allison? Maybe it's time to start like researching tape. Okay. Yeah. You had this page all this time. Tape it back in.
It's so Allison, too, to be like, oh, look, you ripped out this page and I got mad about it. And that's what I kept all this. Like, she thinks it's something like romantic, you know, like, remember that page, that time when we were just young girls and that page was such a big deal to me. But really, it's like, Allison, after all these years, you're still holding on to something you got pissed off about all those days ago.
Yeah.
Allison. Yeah. So grow up, Allison, and put on some socks. For Christ's sake.
So Damon's like, well, she can have her answer now, stuffed in her father's mouth with his withered cock. Let's end this fast. Damon's like really on one today. Like he's really...
Damon, literally everything that happens, Damon is the biggest negative influence. He's very extra. You know? Like even when Rhaenys came in, she's like, well, guess what? Your dad died. Someone killed him! Okay, well, you know, now... the king, whatever, Aegon has been crowned. That motherfucker killed my brother, and now he just like jumps to the worst conclusions every time. And now it's, oh yeah, you want an answer? Well, stuff it in his goddamn mouth with his cock, his withered cock.
I know. He's like a very angry sports fan whose team just did not make it into the playoffs.
Yeah, you know? He's tipping over a fucking Volkswagen.
So then he like draws a sword and he's like, Sir Eric, bring me Lord Hightower so I may have the pleasure myself. Sir Eric! Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were saying Sir Eric. I said Sir Eric. Me? Yes, you Eric, you're the Eric here. No, I'm actually Eric. Which Eric do we have here? It's Eric.
So Syrax hears them, sees them fighting, so he's like, wah! And then everybody's pointing swords at each other. And she's like, oh, God, Damon, put the sword down. Jesus, I'm so sorry. He did this when fucking Uber Eats showed up, too. I mean, he's just sword happy. What can I tell you? So she's like, they will have my answer on the morrow. And that's it. She just walks off. And Damon's like,
I was like, do you mean tomorrow? Is that the same as on the morrow? Yes. Okay, just clarifying. Thank you.
So back at the map table thing, Damon's like, listen, it's no easy thing for a man to be a dragon slayer, but dragons can kill dragons, and they have killed dragons. Let's have dragon-dragon fight. Dragon-dragon fight. You know, some people are doing it with children. We're doing it with dragons. Hopefully we just keep going larger until humanity can just agree on something small that we'll eat anyway. Chickens, maybe? Turtles? I don't know. Would people show up for a turtle fight?
Maybe a turtle race. I don't know. So basically he's like, look, we have more dragons than Aegon has dragons. And Ray Ray's like, yes, well, Viserys knew his histories and knew them quite well. And when dragons go to war, everything is burned to the ground. And I do not wish to rule over a kingdom of ash and bone, foreshadowing to Khaleesi. Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
A little bubble pops up of Khaleesi just like, ha ha. they're like, so are you considering her terms? Like, what are you saying? And she's like, well, as a queen, what is my duty to the realm, Bartimus? He's like, looking hot in a crown never having to clean up after yourself, moving the home goods closer to the Starbucks. What else? Come on.
And basically Damon's like, that's your father talking. And she's like, my father's dead, and he chose me as his successor to defend the realm, not to cast it into war. And he's like, well, the enemy has declared war. What are you going to do about it? She's like, clear the room. So now they're going to have a one-on-one talk. It's serious.
So then Rhaenys, it's so funny. So everybody's leaving, and Rhaenys is the last, and she passes them, and she's like, just gives a little smile, like, oh, God, couples fight. Love it. I'll be right out here listening.
She's the slowest exiter on the show. She always is the last one to leave the room, and she's always like,
And she's always giving you a look like she just punked you. Like, glad I started this fight, even without saying anything. Mm.
I know. I'm now going to tell two children to come in from outside. My favorite thing.
So she's like, oh my God, can we try to take the throne without putting Hightower's head on a spike? Okay. And he's like, why aren't you mad? And she's like, I'm not going to declare war just because I'm mad. And he's like, it's our duty. And so she's like, listen, you know that my oath here reaches beyond my personal ambitions. And he's like, what? Well, what do you think war is for? To kill people? Well, what else? To murder them? What else? Shove withered cocks in mouths? What else? Is there more than shoving withered cocks in mouths? Really?
What about... hello, the Song of Ice and Fire, the most important secret in all the realm for some reason. Don't you know the Song of Ice? Everyone knows the Song of Ice and Fire. I mean, it is said that if you don't know the Song of Ice and Fire, you're pretty much an impotent man. Am I right?
She's like, you know, Song of Ice and Fire, the coming war against the darkness and the north, the conqueror's dream, you know. Viserys shared it with me when he named me heir. You know, come on. What do we need to charades it? Do we need to charades it?
Do you not remember the dream that said someday the Starbucks will have a drive-thru? You don't even have to get out of your car. It was all part of a vision. What? Come on, you have to keep up here.
So he grabs her by the throat and starts strangling her, which, that's great, you know. I love when we make heroes out of such terrible fucking people. Like, we didn't all see this coming. We're like, oh my God, he's so cute.
Well, according to Ryan Condal, the reason why he did that is because he loved his brother so much. And in that moment, he realizes that his brother didn't feel safe sharing that secret with him. And like, that sense of betrayal and hurt bubbles up. And that's what he does. So
I don't care what reasons are. Stop strangling your wife. Okay, this is not fucking court where at the very end they're like, oh yeah, he's a big murderer, but you know what? His mom was mean to him when he was young. I don't give a fuck, okay? He killed a lot of people. So.
Yeah, sorry you're not up on your gossip doesn't mean you get to strangle your wife, okay?
Yeah, and I wonder why your brother didn't trust you, by the way, Damon.
Yeah,
calm-headed
also be
Damon,
more chill.
Stuffer of withered cocks and mouths.
If there is a secret that is being told to you and you don't know it, you don't choke the person that's telling you. You just sort of be like, oh yeah, no, I totally know all about it, but refresh me a little bit about how it goes again. That's what you do.
And he's like, well, my brother was a slave to his omens and his portents and anything to make his fact. Did he seem to kind of talk like that? This kind of had like a, maybe I just noticed it, but his voice, maybe because he doesn't talk very much, but he's like, my brother was a slave to his omens and his portents. And he says, anything to make his feckless reign appear to have a purpose. Dreams don't make us kings. Dragons do.
I think maybe Damon had, for the first time in the history of the entire fantasy genre, a little cold. Because, you know, in fantasy, you get like a very terrible illness and then you die. Or in the Sea Snake,
like,
he did recover.
Some shit.
But like, you don't get just like a, I just have a little cold. I just came down with something. It's fine. I'll work through it. You just don't get those.
You're like bleeding from the eyes and then you fall over and it's over.
He's like, no, I'm just a little congested today. That's all. It's allergies.
So he drops her and she's like, ow. And she's like, oh my God, he never told you. He didn't tell you, did he? Loser! Loser! And he walks off all pissed off and just takes his sword on the way out.
Yeah. So then we see Corlys. Corlys has finally made it here to Dragonstone, and he's like waking up in his bed. He survived his near-death experience. And Rhaenys is like asleep. She's like, and then he sees her. And then the first thing out of his mouth is some passive aggressive bullshit. He's like, well, I've had men whipped for falling asleep on their watch. She's like, don't try me. I was having a really good dream.
She was like, you abandoned me when I most needed you. Both of our children stolen from us. I needed you. Our children needed you. And then you abandoned us to go for an adventure on the sea. And he's like, well, I didn't have anywhere else to turn. She's like, I'm your wife, stupid!
You want me to sit there in that stupid room with that stupid Adirondack chair that I want to get rid of so desperately? No, I had to go out to the high seas. I had to go see where I once killed Shelley Duvall.
My butt has never been flatter. And she's like, oh, I'm so mad at you. Here, let me give you a sponge bath. So she does. And he's like, well, I understand we have a new king now. And she's like, well, your brother's dead too, by the way. Because in haste to bury you and claim your seat, he stood before the king, denounced Laenor's sons as illegitimate. I mean, what an idiot. And then Daemon cut off his head. So, hope you had a safe trip. What a warm enough.
Welcome back from your coma. Everyone died and you're stupid. So he's like all upset.
He goes, well, heedless ambition has always been a Valyrian weakness. Do you really need to say heedless right now? The guy just got decapitated.
You were right, Rhaenys. I've reached too far and full of nothing. Our pursuit of the Iron Throne is at an end. Thank you, everyone. Good night. Good night, House of the Dragon fans. We are done here.
Well, we shall declare for no one. We shall return to high tide to be content with our grandchildren. She's like, too late, stupid, because our grandchildren are heirs to the throne now, and they're going to get killed if Aegon's the king. And he's like, oh, but Rhaenyra was complicit in our son's death, right? Aren't we still mad at that? I forget what we're mad about when I'm not with you.
She's like, yes, but she's also the only one keeping this kingdom together because all these asshole men want to go to war, and she's the only one that's kind of like chill for a moment, okay? So then, speaking of which, we then go to the war room, and there's Ray Ray at the table, and all the guys are talking, and now Corlys is joined with Rhaenys. Rhaenys is like, we're here. And he's like, my lords. And Ray Ray's like, oh, well, you know, brings much relief to see you hale and healthy again. He's like, well,
can I just say, whatever boat he was on had a great salon. His hair looks perfect. How has this guy been floating around near death for all this time? He's like, hello, it's me. I may have a cane, but I've also got perfect hair.
He looks fab. You know, he has got the cane, but everything else looks, you know, like looks like it's functioning quite well.
So he gives a little speech and he looks over at the kids. He's like, sorry about your dad, by the way. Where's your brother's bend, uncle's bend, whatever? Where's your little dragons in the attic partner? She's like, he's busy. What do you want? And he's like, so you're declared allies, huh? I'm looking here at the game board. Too few to win a war for the throne. And she's like, well, we're also hoping for Aaron, Baratheon, and Stark. You know, they promised. And he's like, well, hope is for dopes. And that's why it rhymes. So good luck with that.
She's like, But Aaron and the Baratheon, they share blood with my family, and they all swore oaths to me. Everyone upholds oaths in this time. And Corlys is like, as did House Hightower. A burn, burn, burn.
She's like, you promised too. And he's like, and he looks over at the kids, and he's like, your father's realm was one of justice, honor, and body parts falling off. And our houses are bound by common blood and common cause. Hightower treason cannot stand. You have the full support of our fleet and our house. Your grace.
Well, that was a pivot. 2 seconds ago, he's like, I can't wait to retire and watch Netflix. Now he's like, I'm in it and I will call all the shots.
Yeah.
So she's like, you know, she's like, you honor me, you know, Lord Corlys. And, you know, she's like, I want to keep the realm united, but I don't want to start a war. And he's like, well, and so they're gonna be like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. He goes, by the way, I love this part. He goes, oh, by the way, because remember how I almost died in the Stepstones? Well, guess what? Because it was like the 10th time we went to the Stepstones, this time we decided to actually put garrisons up. Oh, so we control them now. Oh, and we'll put in a blockade and we'll just like starve King's Landing. So that's all set. I was like, oh, okay, fine, great.
Yeah, he's like, the Triarchy has been routed, the Narrow Sea is ours, and there's even an AMC Dollar Theater. on the edge of town. So we'll starve the fuckers. And
really inspired by Nicole Kidman, I have to say. Those ads were very, very effective.
Rhaenys is like, I shall take melees and patrol the gullet myself. Mm. So everybody's happy, which we know cannot stand on this show. Right. So Ray's like, okay, so if we have enough swords to surround King's Landing, then we must have the support of the Winterfells and the Eyrie and Storm's End. So let's get on that. And Brent Vartimos or whoever is like, all send ravens! And then Jake's like, no, we should take dragons, mother. They're faster than ravens, and they're more convincing. Send us. What could go wrong?
Nothing is convincing like a little child on a dragon. What could go wrong?
Right.
So
I was anyway, that so too. I'm like, wow, look, it's a giant pickup truck and a 5-year old's getting out of it.
Yeah.
Guess we better get back to work, guys.
So Jace is gonna go to the north and he's gonna go to see Lady Jane Aaron. And then he's gonna go to Winterfell to see Lord Craegan Stark. And then Prince Lucerys, he's gonna go south to Storm's End to see Boros Baratheon. And the whole thing is they're supposed to be like, before you start kneeling towards any weird, you know, Aegons, just remember, Rhaenyra is alive and she was the one that you all had an oath to. So that's the plan.
So she's sending the boys off. They're on the balcony and she's like, listen, as Targaryens, it said we're closer to gods than men. But if we are to serve the Seven Kingdoms, we must answer to their god. If you take this as errands, you will not take it as warriors. Swear it to me. Swear it to me now in the eyes of the Seven. Do it on this book. Do it on this holy, holy book. And they're like, okay. And they touch the book. And then she opens it, rips a page out. She's like, sorry. Just love people not knowing the ending to things. Yeah.
Your oath is slightly less oathy now. So, yeah. So basically, they're going to go fly off and everything, and everything's gonna be great. Everything will be totally fine. And they fly up, and the Targaryen theme plays while they're flying over the seas. It's like, rah, rah. And it's very exciting and stirring. And I'm like getting very into this. I'm starting to feel like, okay, the show is like, now we're leading to a big moment here. We're rallying troops I care about aside. Very excited.
She's like, Lucy, Storm's End is the shortest flight, so you have Baratheon blood from your grandmother, Rhaenys. So Lord Barrows is proud, and he'll be honored to host the prince and his dragon. It's going to be great. You'll go there. They'll probably have twisty balloons. I don't want them to scare you. I know you don't like dogs, but sometimes they're twisted to look like dogs. They can't bite you. They're just balloons. He's like, oh, I'm sure you saw it. I want to drown. It's like, it's on land. It'll be on land. Okay.
So then Daemon is like walking around in a dragon pit. He's got a torch and he's like singing a song. He's like, like, weird. I really felt like I was in synagogue. I was like, I feel like I'm at like the high holidays for Rosh Hashanah.
Yes. It sounds like Jesus Loves Me in minor, because Jesus Loves Me goes, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. For the Bible tells me so. But it sounded like that, but it's like, la 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 la. It's like, jeez.
It's like, is he a cantor on the side? So
a cantor singing Jesus Loves Me in minor.
I know. He's very confused about his
direction.
So he's walking around the darkness and then he puts down a torch. And then there's like a dragon. The dragon's like, the dragon's like very angry. And then they look into each other's eyes.
Well, the dragon lets out such like an old man dragon fire too, because he's like,
just burning something to the upper right, like, you know, like not happy.
And
not
then a happy he dragon. Brings his face up close to Daemon, you know how they do. And I do love that, because, you know, now that people said, watch the personalities of the dragon, like, I'm always trying to read the dragon's faces. And this dragon really did have this, like, old jaw, like, his bottom jaw was kind of uneven. He's like, like, that dragon's like, get off my lawn. Oh, and that dragon is Vermithor or Vormithor. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. And it was the old King Jaehaerys's dragon. And then after he died, this dragon hasn't done shit since then. That was a long time ago.
Oh, I thought it was a wild dragon that had not been tamed. Wow. No.
This is,
I mean, who knows?
Vermithor.
Who knows?
So then he gets up and gets face to face with Daemon, but Damon's like, little ones to him belong. They are weak because we are strong. And they stare eye to eye, and he looks in the dragon's eye, and the dragon looks in his eye, and his eye changes. The dragon sees something. It's like a retinal scan. It's like, yeah.
Dragon's like, I see you. It's like a promo for Avatar 2. So then, meanwhile, Luke has now like entered. It sort of looks actually more like a Harry Potter now. He's like on his dragon. It's like windy and stormy, and it's like all feels like kind of, he's arriving at Storm's End, but looks kind of British over there. You know, like I kind of imagine like Imelda Staunton's going to come out, you know, and be like, "Get on in here. The lesson's all about to begin."
I feel like it looks like Russia, like storybook paintings of like all the domes, you know.
I was really only focused on one building, so I may have missed all the domes. I was like, look at that building. Look at that tall building.
You just go into every scene focusing on where Brenda Blethyn would be.
What's the building that's most likely to have Brenda Blethyn in it? And then I clear everything else out. Brenda Blethyn comes out and goes, "Hi, you're mistaken. You're not at Storm's End." It's like, actually, I am. Oh, no.
So he gets off the dragon and he's like, "I am confident. I am Lucy. I am confident. I am Lucy. You're smart. You're kind. Everyone loves you, Luce. Everyone loves you." And he's like straightening up and getting ready to walk in the big castle, and all the knights are staring at him like, ugh. And then he finally builds up his confidence, and then this gigantic fucking dragon. Wow. That thing
biggest
is
a
beast.
Yeah, that's the Vhagar, the biggest dragon of the land. We've seen Vhagar several times, but like it was many episodes ago, they were like, "Is it true that Vhagar is around?" Like, no one knows where Vhagar is, but no, now Aemond owns Vhagar, basically. So now Lucy is doing that like cartoon thing where his knees are like going, and he's like walks in. He's, you know, he says, "I am Prince Luceris Valerian, and I bring a message to the Lord Poboros from the Queen." And the knights are like, "Oh God, this stupid little punk. Okay, come on over here, kid. This won't last long.
Kid, turn around and leave. You know Aemond's in there with the biggest dragon in the world. Okay, I know this is your first day at work, but you don't have to put up with this shit. Okay, I would go back and be like, no, send a fucking raven. I'm not going in there. Okay, no." That's my answer. So he goes in, and Aemond is there in his best Laura Dern thought face, you know, and he's got like a new eye patch. He's got like the spring collection eye patch. It's so nice. And he's just giving him like a really, you know, intense look. And Lord Barros is sitting up there. He looks like the meatloaf guy who got killed a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think either you look like Prince Charming or Meatloaf on this show. I don't think there's a lot of in between.
I feel like there are a lot of Danny McBrides, like between Lord Strong and this guy and several others, that new guy who's on the council. They just all look like Danny McBride to me. So then they're like, "Luceris Valerian, son of Princess Rhaenyra Targaryen, owner of a broken Adirondack chair off in the west, and child person who's peeing his pants at the moment. Welcome."
So he's like, "I brought a message from my mother, the queen." And he's like, "Oh, really? Because earlier today I received a message from the king. So which is it? King? Queen?" "Those House Targaryen does not seem to know who rules it." "Stupid dragon house."
So then Luke hands over this little message, and then they bring it to Barros, and I guess he can't read it or something. He's like, "Where's the bloody Meister?" So the Meister reads it and then whispers into his ear, and then Barros is like, "Remind me of my father's oath. I mean, King Aegon at least came with an offer. I made my swords and banners for a marriage pact. I mean, if I do as your mother bids, which of my daughters are you going to wed, boy?" And all these girls are like, "Hi.
Hey." Yeah, they cuts to the daughters, and they're like, "Oh, Jesus." They're just giving this look to the cameras, like, "Help us." So Luke's like, "My lord, I'm not free to marry. I'm already betrothed." Okay, wrong answer. You can't just send this kid into a kingdom without knowing how to exit when the time is right and knowing how to lie. He's just like, "I can't give you anything you want." It's like, no.
Yeah, like if Barros is down to break an oath, you should be down to break an oath too, Luke. You'd be like, oh yeah, I'll take the middle one, the one that looks like Elizabeth Moss. I'll take her. Yeah, it'll be totally fine. I won't back out of it the last minute at all.
So he's like, oh, so you come empty-handed. Go home, little pup, and tell your mother Storm's End is not some dog she can rustle up against her foes whenever she wants to. Also, tell her call me. Haven't heard from her in a while. She's very good at bridge. So Luke's like, okay, I'll take your answer to the queen. And then Aemon's like, ugh. He's like, wait, Lord Strong. So Luke comes back and he's like, did you really think you could just fly around the realm and steal my brother's crown at no cost?
And Luke's like, I will not fight you. I came as a messenger, not a warrior. That's what my mom said I should say. And so he's like, well, a fight would be a little challenge. No, I want to have an Oscar monologue off. Sorry, that's the Durin side of me kicking in. Okay, how about this? I want to take your eye as payment for mine. One will serve.
Dinosaurs are people too. Sorry, let it slip in again. And he's like, don't worry, I won't blind you completely. I just want to give your eye to my mother. And he's like, no. And he's like, oh, so you're craven as well as a traitor. So he runs at him with his knife pulled. And then Luke pulls his sword like, ah, mister. And Barros is like, not in my living room. Jesus Christ. He's a messenger. And I'm not going to have bloodshed beneath my roof. All right. We just got the floors done. So take him to his dragon. Now, get him out of here. So he's like, thank you, sir. So he leaves. And then he's just keeps looking back because he knows something's not right, right?
Yeah. And he goes up to his dragon. And he's looking. He doesn't see the big dragon. And then he goes up to his dragon. He's like, listen, okay? Like, just fly. Just focus. Okay, you just need to be focused. You just need to be calm.
Yeah, he says, pay attention and obey. Please obey me. Right. He's like, listen to what I say. So he mounts the dragon and he yells fly and they take off. And there's no music. It's just lightning and thunder.
No, it's
and
bad.
A huge storm. This is bad.
I thought he was going to get hit by lightning, personally. I was like, we knew something bad was going to happen because there was no music. I was like, either the other dragon's going to come or it's going to be lightning. And it went like for a pretty long time that he was flying around. And I was like, this is bad. This is bad. Like, it was suspenseful for me. I was like, this is not going to end well.
So he's flying through the storm and we just hear the sounds of the storm and a distant growling. And he keeps looking behind him, but there's a storm, you know, so he can't see. And then he looks above him and that fucking gigantic dragon is above him. And he's like this little tiny thing. And then this humongous dragon. Oh,
yeah. And so the dragon, now Aemon's on that dragon and he's like chasing him. And it's very much like a video game because you just hear Aemon cackling like, ha, 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 ha. It reminded me of like a boss fight in a video game. So there's like a lot of swooping and dodging and ups and downs and cackling. And, you know, like Luke's just trying to reassure Eric's like, you know, focus, come on, go, like focus, love, focus. And
Aemon's
like,
I see you. Yeah, and it's like Draco Malfoy behind him. You know, they're flying, and it's like this shock of blonde hair, and you just hear, and he's running in or flying and flying, and then Vhagar snaps at him, and Aemon is just laughing and laughing as he chases him. And so the kid, Lucy, sees two mountains that are closing in or whatever. So he
little canyon, yeah.
Flies in and it's too tight for the big dragon. Okay, that's where you just stop. Okay? Stop the dragon. Just chill for a while. But no, he doesn't. He keeps going through there. And then the big dragon's flying over him. And then Draco's above him going, you owe a debt, boy! Chahuga! Chahuga! So I didn't really know what that meant, but I like the cartoon sound.
Yeah. And like the dragon's getting distracted. So like, you know, and so Luke is basically like, no, serve me. Which also happens when I get really hungry in a restaurant. And then Aemon is like, Vhagar's going a little rogue. So Vhagar's like, no, serve me. So they're losing control of their dragons and it's getting really crazy now. And then
little dragon, Arax gets sneaky and flies up and throws some fire in Vhagar's face. which, oh, hell no. So Luke's like, oh, shit, no, why? So he flies higher and higher, and he's above the clouds, and then it's pure silence, so you know shit's about to go down.
Yeah.
And then Vhagar just pops up out of the cloud, opens his mouth, and doesn't even, like, bite them or, like, knock him off. Mm-mm. He just snaps down and just breaks that damn dragon in two. I mean,
yeah,
you just see, like, the dragon falling in halves.
Yeah, it's just, like, he bites that dragon in half. It was very intense. And
Lucy
and then
in the Aemon's sky with Aegon's with Aemon's. Poor kid. I love you, Lucy.
So Aemon is like, Vhagar, no. But so Aemon actually shows some regret on his face, which was surprising. He actually is like, it seems like he understands the ramifications of what has just happened. And he seems actually like a little sad, like, oh shit, like this got a little out of control.
Yeah. So he knows he just started a war, that piece of shit. Oh, and the actor was on the Behind the Game of Thrones episode. And he's so funny because he is so actory. You know when actors are just like so, I call them Laura Linneys because that's how Laura Linney is. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, what was it like being in King Kong? She's like, well, when I took the role, I originally just curled up in a ball and I thought, what would it be like to be in this climate 24 hours a day? And I said, Laura, your name isn't Laura anymore. It's like, shut up. and that's how this guy is. He's like, well, I'm Aemon. Realizes his dragon did what it did. He has to really confront who he is for the first time and say, is this who you want to be? Or is it who you were born to be? Dun, dun, dun. Okay, you're an actor. We get it.
Yeah, seriously. So then we go back to Dragonstone and the war room, and Rhaenyra is at the front of the war room by like the fireplace. And Daemon walks in slow motion through all the madness. And it's like, we just hear music and we don't hear anything. And he walks up to her and he pulls her aside and he says something. And then she kind of like lurches forward, like she's doubling over in grief. But then she turns around and she's anger. There's war in her eyes.
Oh, she is so pissed. And the war has begun. The Dance of Dragons has begun. Oh, one thing we didn't mention was when Aemon was in the castle or whatever, confronting Lucy, he ripped off his eye patch. He's like, I want your eye like you took mine. And he rips it off and we look deeply into his blue eye. And everyone's saying they think that he's going to be the Ice King. Dun, dun,
yeah.
Because he had that bright blue eye.
I noticed that blue eye and I was like, that's very White Walker-y. So yeah, it feels like that might be Ice King. That might be future Ice King potential there for sure.
Yeah. Ice King auditions.
And did you notice the Ice King did know how to fly that dragon in Game of Thrones? So
that's true. Good point.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of this season of Winter is Crappening. I can't believe it. It's been so much fun. And God, can't wait to see you guys in 2024. Who knows? Who knows what will be happening then? But I can tell you, we will be watching the show. So
yeah, thanks everyone for being on board with us here for this season. And by the way, if you're a Bravo listener, don't forget to listen to Watch Our Crappens for all your Bravo recaps too. So thanks everyone, and we'll catch you down the line. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
The Bay Area Betches. bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.